Captain Calvert, I'm Louise Kavanagh. My father apologizes for not being here to greet you in person, but the estate is very busy right now and requires his full attention. So I'd like to welcome you to Cricklade myself and hope you enjoy your stay. Which was almost what she'd rehearsed, but there was something about enjoying his train journey which had missed out. Oh, well. Louise took her hand in an emphatic grip. That's very kind of you, Louise, and I must say I consider myself most fortunate that your father is so occupied, because there simply cannot be a nicer way of being welcomed to Cricklade than by a young lady as beautiful as yourself. Louise knew her cheeks would be colouring and wanted to turn and hide. What a juvenile reaction! He was only being polite, but so utterly charming, and he sounded sincere. Could he really think that about her? Her discipline had gone all to pieces. "Hallo," she said to Dibyadov, which was so dreadfully gauche. Her blush deepened. She realized Joshua was still holding her hand. "My Starflight engineering officer," Joshua said, with a slight bow. Louise recovered and introduced William Elphinstone as an estate manager, not mentioning he was only a trainee, which he should have been grateful for, but she got the distinct impression he wasn't terribly impressed with the starship captain. "We have a carriage laid on to take you to the manor," William said. He signalled to the driver to take Joshua's bags from the steward. "That's really most thoughtful of you," Joshua told Louise. Dimples appeared in her cheeks. "This way?" She gestured to the platform exit. Joshua thought the waiting carriage looked like an oversized pram fitted with modern lightweight wheels, but the two black horses moved it along at a fair clip, and the ride over the rutted track was comfortably smooth. There hadn't been much to Colsterworth. It was a rural market town with very few industries. The countryside economy revolved around the farms. Its houses were mostly built from locally quarried stone with a bluish tinge. Doors and windows were almost always arched. When they rode down the busy high street, pedestrians nudged one another and glanced over as the carriage went by. At first Joshua thought they were looking at him and Dibby, but then he realized it was Louise who drew their attention. Outside Colsterworth, the rolling countryside was a patchwork of small fields separated by immaculately layered hedges. Streams wound down through the gentle valleys, while spinneys clung to the rounded heights and deeper folds. The wheat and barley had already been harvested, he saw. Plenty of haystacks were dotted about, steeply sloping tops netted against the expected winter winds. Tractors were ploughing the stubble back into the rich red soil before drilling the second crop. There would be just enough time for the stalks to ripen before the long autumn and winter seasons began. "You don't have any prescription against power tractors, then?" Joshua asked. "Certainly not," William Elphinstone replied. "We're a stable society, Captain, not a backward one. We use whatever is appropriate to maintain the status quo and give people a decent standard of living at the same time. Using horses to plough every field would be pure drudgery. That's not what Norfolk is about. Our founders wanted pastoral life to be enjoyable for all." To Joshua's ears he sounded defensive, but then he had been on edge since they'd been introduced. "Where does all the power come from?" Joshua asked. "Solar cells are sufficient for domestic utilities, but 90% of the electricity used for industry and agriculture is geothermal. We buy in thermal potential fibres from the Confederation and drill them 3 or 4 miles down into the mantle. Most towns have 5 or 6 heat shafts. They're virtually maintenance-free, and the fibres last for a couple of centuries. It's a much neater solution than building hydro dams everywhere and flooding valleys." Interesting how he said Confederation, Joshua thought, almost as if Norfolk wasn't part of it. "All this must seem terribly cumbersome to you, I expect," Louise said. "Not at all," Joshua answered. "What I've seen so far is admirable. You should visit some of the so-called advanced worlds I've been to. Technology comes with a very high price in terms of society. They have dreadful levels of crime and vice. Some urban areas have decayed into complete no-go zones." 3 people were murdered on Kesteven last year," Louise said. William Elphinstone frowned as if to object, but let it pass. "I think your ancestors got your constitution about right," Joshua said. "Hard on people who are sick," Dibyadev observed.